I read a story the other day, a joke, and I thought it was pretty funny, so I'm not going to take credit for the joke. I never do, because I never tell good jokes. Even when I get good jokes, I still don't tell them very well, but I still like to try. Read about this young boy who called a pastor at a church down the street from his and said, "Pastor, I'd like for you to come to our family's house and pray for my mom. My mom's really sick. She's not doing well." And the pastor knew who this young child was, who this young boy was, and he knew that the family attended the church down the street. And he said, "I would be more than happy to come down, but I have a question. Why didn't you call your pastor, the pastor at your church? How come you didn't call him to come over?" And he said, "Well, we was afraid if we called him, he might get what she has, and she gets sick, and we thought if we called you, then it wouldn't hurt our pastor at all." Today I want to talk about prayer. Today I want to talk about prayer, and it's one of the things that we talk about in Christianity, we talk about in our belief that is really important, really essential in our walk. But for many of us, we never do it enough. We could always do more. We could always pray more. I love the words of F.B. Meyer, who wrote in his book, The Secret of Guidance. He said, "The great tragedy of life is not an answered prayer, but an offered prayer." This morning, I want to talk about our prayer life. You know, Paul understood the power and the purpose of prayer. And he wrote about it in the book of Colossians. And that's going to be the focus of my text this morning. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. Colossians 4, 2 through 4, and I'll have those words on the screen, or if you want to turn over in your Bibles to there, that's okay as well. But let me read you the passage I want to focus on. Paul's words about prayer. He says, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Prayer was an undeniable part of Paul's life. You remember Acts 18? When him and Silas were praying and singing songs in the jail all night. And that night, their chains were opened. Their cuffs were opened. The doors opened to their cells. They could have left, but they didn't. And the Ethiopian eunuch, and the jailer was ready to kill himself. And Paul said, wait, we're here. And he ended up sharing the gospel with this jailer. And him and his family came to know the Lord. Paul never stopped praying, which leads to my first point this morning. We should be praying persistently. Pray persistently. We should never stop praying. I think of the words of the old Stephen Curtis Chapman song, let us pray every moment of the day. No, that's not right. Let us pray everywhere and every way, every moment of the day. That's what happens when I ad-lib. I start messing up the words and the phrases. But Paul starts off by saying, in that first part of Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer. This comes from the Greek word, that word devote, proskertereo, which means to be constant or devoted, to persevere, to continue at all times, to remain steadfast. In other words, we're to be persistent. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Jesus gives the best examples of prayer. There were two stories he told, two things he told on prayer that really highlight this idea of praying persistently. The first is in Luke 18. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, I'm going to put the scripture reference up because it's just too long for the screen. Luke 18. We're going to read verses 2 through 8. Luke 18. There's a parable Jesus told. And listen to what this parable says. I love this parable. It's one of my favorites. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I love that parable. I love that parable. Now, I purposely left off the first verse. Go back to the first verse and see what it says before Jesus read the parable. It says, verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That they should always pray and not give up. Persistence. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't become discouraged when answers don't come quickly. Don't become discouraged when things don't go the way that we think they should. We talked about in Sunday school, Joseph. What happened to Joseph? Joseph was sitting pretty. He was sitting great with his dad, and then his brothers sell him off to slavery. He builds himself up from that and becomes the chief guy under Potiphar. And then his wife, Potiphar's wife, tries to tempt him into having sex with her. And he does the right thing. And then he gets thrown in jail. But Joseph remained committed to God. We must stay committed. We must not stop praying despite the circumstances, despite the issues. There is no one issue, no one greater circumstance that is greater than God. And we must continue to focus on Him and go to Him in prayer. As Jesus recorded in Luke, He said these words, and these words are very familiar. We know them very well. He says in Luke 11, 9 and 10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. When we see this, we very easily overlook the significance of this verse. I have looked it up and many scholars say this about this verse. If you read it literally, it really says, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. It's not a one-time thing. We are to be constantly praying, constantly seeking God's wisdom, God's advice. This is perseverance. This is persistence. We must be, every one of us must be persistent prayer warriors. We also must be passionate. My second point this morning, we must pray passionately. Go back to Colossians 2. I'll have it up here on the screen. Colossians 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. I want you to think about that phrase, being watchful. You know what some synonyms to watchful are? Observant, alert, vigilant. What is the opposite of vigilant? Slothfulness, which is a lack of passion, a lack of caring, a lack of wanting to do anything. We are to be watchful, which means we are to be passionate. We are to be focused. Yet many people are slothful. Many people just want to go through the motions. They want to say a prayer just to say it, thinking that will solve the issue. And Jesus calls them out. Jesus calls people who pray like this out. He says in Matthew 6:7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." The NIV says, "Do not keep babbling like the pagans." We don't just pray to hear ourselves talk. We don't just pray just to say words. Just because we say 2,000 words instead of 1,000 words doesn't mean our prayer is more effective. It's not how many words. It's how we're saying it. It's what we're saying. Why are we saying it? We don't go through the motions. This isn't something it's not a requirement in a class. If I pray these 5 times, I'll get through this. Everything will be fine. No, it's not the idea of just, I gotta pray. We gotta pray purposeful prayers. Mean what we say. Pray with our heart. I love the words of Jesus when he said in Matthew 17:20, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Does that sound like that would be the prayer of somebody who just rambles off a few words? No. It does not. Those sound like the words of someone who cares, of someone whose heart is fully committed. We go to God in prayer, fully trusting, fully believing in Him, relying on Him, and believing that He can help us through whatever. Praying passionate, I send it up in three points. We step back, we look forward, and we pray big. We pray big. Where's your relationship at with God? When you pray, are you just hoping maybe He hears what you say? Now, maybe God heard it. I'm not going to hope anything happens. This is my last-ditch effort. I'm just going to try this. Are we leaning on Him, believing in the power of prayer, and believing that what happens, whatever happens, God will help us through, and the best for us will happen, whether we think it's the best for us or if God thinks it's the best for us? Are we trusting? I love the words in the book of James, James 5:16, when he says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." How do you pray? How do you pray? We pray persistently. We pray passionately. And third, We pray with a grateful heart. Look back at Paul's words again in Colossians 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Do we take time to be thankful for what God has done in our lives? Are we thankful in our prayers? Or do we just start off, God, it's happening again. This problem's happening again. I don't know what to do. And end it with that. Or do we go to God saying, God, I thank you for another day. I thank you that I'm able to be alive and I'm able to share you and I'm able to take a breath. Paul wrote, you know, I read, pray continually in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Look at the verses around it in 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do we give thanks in all circumstances? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, be thankful to God. Go to God with a grateful heart. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I ask every one of you today, do you think you could tell me that you give thanks? That you've given thanks today, this week, this month? Could you answer yes? I think many people get distracted by the issues, by the world, the issues, things that happen around us. And we get our focus off of God's greatness. We're like Peter in the water. We get focused off of Jesus and look at the winds when Jesus can still have us walking across the water. I love the words of David in Psalm 27. And before I read it, this was a time when David was writing this, when there was a lot of chaos going on in his life. A lot of hardship. And he wrote these words. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David could have focused on all of his problems, but instead, what's he focus on? The beauty of the Lord. And the Lord's beauty is wonderful. It's great. You set your problem up to the beauty of the Lord, and it blinds it. The beauty of the Lord is so much greater. Satan wants us to get focused on the chaos, on the issues, on all the problems. And yes, we should solve the problems that we have. But are we doing that with God as our focus? There's a difference when we do things with God and without. If we keep God as our focus in our prayer life, it will change us. It'll change our very attitude, or change our very hearts. Make sure you're praying often. Persistently, you're praying passionately, you're praying with a grateful heart. I read of people who keep a journal. They write down all their prayers, and they write down the ones that have been answered. And they go back and look at them, and they're reminded of the good things that God has done. It's easy to forget them. And believe me, Satan wants you to forget him. And he'll use that. Don't let him. Don't let him. Finally this morning, I want to talk about one other way. And that is praying selflessly. Let's go back to verses 3 and 4 in Colossians. It says this, "And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Paul asked others to pray for him and his ministry. We should not only be praying for whatever issues we're dealing with, but praying for others as well. We should put the focus on others and what they're dealing with. 1 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 says, "To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." We should be praying for others. And the Bible doesn't talk about this in one or two spots. Let me give you a few other examples. Let's go ahead and put those on the screen. Ephesians 6:18, we pray for other Christians. We pray for other believers. Hebrews 13:3, we pray for those in prison. Philippians 1:4-6, we pray for ministers spreading the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:2, we pray for our nation's leaders. And you just go back one verse, 1 Timothy 2:1, we pray for everybody. Praying selflessly. If our hearts are focused on God and we're praying selflessly, it shows our hearts. Shows that we realize it's not about us. It's about God's glory. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. We do this for the glory of Jesus Christ. And that shows our selflessness. And that's what we should be striving for. Showing that we're not selfish. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to care about the body, the church. We're to care about the lost. We're to care about our leaders, those in prison. We're to care about everyone. Where's our hearts? And you know, showing that we care, there is nothing greater than we can do than to start off with prayer. There's nothing greater. Everybody treats it as when you say prayer that it is meaningless. And it is not meaningless. It's the best thing we can do is pray. So pray for others. Pray with a grateful heart. Pray passionately. Pray persistently. Be a prayer warrior for God. If you're not, do it today. Start it today. Build your relationship with God and do it. Start it now. If you don't know Him, start now. If you don't know God, we got a chance right now. You got an opportunity. Come forward. Make Him Lord of your life. Humbly accept Jesus as Lord. Start a new life in Him. Start that relationship. That's what prayer is. It's a relationship. How can we be Christians if we don't pray? That's like saying, I'm a Christian, but I haven't talked to God in 30 years. Now compare that. I'm married, but I haven't talked to my wife in 30 years. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Continue building your relationship with God. Be in prayer. Be grateful. Be persistent. Be passionate. You compare that again. What if I talk to my wife like a lot of people pray? Hi, Ashley. How are you doing? I hope you're okay. You know, just, I hear that when people pray. We gotta care. Again, now we have a time of invitation. If you don't know Jesus, come forward. Make Him your Lord. You can do that today as we stand and sing a song of invitation. Why don't you all stand?